this December 26th city council meeting to order. Ms. Roll Call, please.
Thank you. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Gearing, Camp, Davis, and Williams.
All right, this time we'll do the pledge of allegiance. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this time is set aside for comments from citizens, and this is for members of the audience to speak to the city council on any issue related to the city Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. And I have two people signed up so far. So first is Mr. Lowell Anderson.
Am I out, Tom?
Yes.
We have to get a drink of water. Lowell Anderson, 129 East Ribmont Drive, Monroe, Washington. And I'm here tonight to request that the Anderson-Rogers letter to Mr. Cox and Ms. Satorius dated November 7, 2013 be incorporated into the appellant's exhibit record. This letter refutes claims or statements by Ms. Satorius letter to Mr. Cox dated October 31, 2013. Our 9-page letter was to be used as our closing statement on the November 7, 2013 hearing. Instead of reading all 9 pages, we elected to submit copies to Mr. Cox, Ms. Satorius, Pace, and the city, which we did. Fatal mistake. Our letter was dismissed by Mr. Cox, who states, I reviewed and considered the written materials and submittals by each party, a record of which I incorporated in the decision. The record is on file with the city. My problem is I can't find it. Where is it? I want to see my letter. So I would like to submit one tonight. Now on page 8 and 9 of our letter, we state, to satisfy the requirements of SEPA, we request the following actions. And there are 5 things we requested. Number 4 states, provide an additional comment letter from the Department of Ecology, confirming their comments and concerns have all been addressed. Now, I contacted Mr. Paul Anderson about the 9th of December because I couldn't find any information, and I received an email which I'd like to share with you and also submit. So this is Mr. Paul Anderson's email to me. I was just reading through the hearing examiner's decision of the recent East Monroe rezone appeal. It appears that my October 10, 2013 delineation verification letter to Scott Brainerd, Wetland Resources Incorporated, may have been misinterpreted or misrepresented at the hearing. In funny number 5 of this decision, specific comments page 28, the hearing examiner notes that the representative, and this is Ecology, provided a follow-up letter indicating that his agency was satisfied. This statement indicates that the delineation verification record is being applied to the numerous concerns about the rezone expected in Ecology's September 13, 2013 SEPA comment letter. I would like to clarify that my delineation verification letter only addressed the wetland boundaries and wetland buffer permitting. I did not speak to any of the other issues raised in Ecology's September letter, nor have I received a response from the city or applicants on those specific issues. I am still concerned that the potential rezone and site development impacts have not been adequately addressed. I'd like to read that again. I'm still concerned that the potential rezone and site development impacts have not been adequately addressed. As stated in our September comment letter, I believe that retaining the limited open space and associated ecological and aesthetic services is the best use of the site. So I would like to incorporate that also. And my opinion is that none of our 5 issues were ever addressed. And my last comment is that instead of saying that it was flawed, I want to say that the FEIS has latent defects, and they'll all arise when a specific project appears. And thank you for your time. And I would really like to see, this took a lot of effort. I kind of like to see it in the file. So with your permission, you grant me that, I'll be very appreciative. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Douglas Hamlin.
For you.
Point of order, Chairman.
Sorry.
I just wanted to make note that Councilmember Kevin Hanford arrived at 7:03 and is now present.
Thank you, be fine.
Doug Hamer, 21122 Calhoun Road. With the hearings examiner's decision only a few short hours ago, making a decision on this important and controversial issue at a special, not regularly scheduled council meeting the day after Christmas would be outrageously irresponsible. This kind of fast-tracking and sleight-of-hand maneuver clearly frustrates Goal Number 11 of the Roof Management Act, RCW 3670A020, Citizens Participation and Coordination. Therefore, I strongly urge you to postpone the decision, at least until the next regularly scheduled council meeting, when there might be more than five of you present. I would like to remind you that this land use change and rezone does not comply with many of the city's own comprehensive plan goals and policies. For example, NEG 1.1, achieve a harmonious relationship between the built and natural environments. NEG 1.3, retain and improve hillsides, wetlands, watercourses for wildlife habitat, recreational uses, water quality enhancement, and flood control functions. NEG 1.5, mitigate the city's vulnerabilities to damage from natural disasters. NEB 1.1, concentrate urban land use in areas with the least environmental constraints to reduce intrusion into natural areas. NEB 1.3, regulate land uses and development using the best available science to protect natural landforms, hydrology, and prevent significant erosion, sedimentation, or degradation of hillsides, wetlands, watercourses, and their associated buffers. NEP 1.4, use the best available science to protect the functions and values of all critical areas. NEP 2.3, work to maintain and improve water quality through appropriate land use and transportation policies. NEG 3.1, preserve and protect a diversity of wildlife habitat and species throughout the city and urban growth areas. NEP 3.1, focus on protecting the remaining open spaces that provide high quality wildlife habitat, variety of habitat types, sizes, and locations. NEG 4.1, reduce potential impacts and liabilities associated with development in areas of potential geological instability. NEG 6.1, preserve the quiet residential environment of the city by limiting increases to noise and reducing unnecessary noise where it exists. NEG 6.2, protect the dark night skies in Monroe's residential neighborhoods. NEG 6.3, protect and improve local and regional air quality. NEP 6.4, promote improved air quality and energy efficiency throughout land use decisions and public facility sitings, which create a compact and efficient community design. And again, I would urge you to please do the right by the residents of Monroe and delay this decision until after the new year at a regularly scheduled Monroe City Council meeting date. Thank you. And I would also like to have this put into the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do not have anybody else signed up, but if there is anybody else that would like to come and address council, now is your time to do so. Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
Misty Blair, 15403 Calhoun Road. I actually have a question about the appeal process for this. I was in and spoke to someone in the city office today, and they mentioned that the city attorney may be here and may be able to answer this. Since these are both the rezone and the and the comp plan amendment are going together but have two separate appeal processes, do they both go together under the growth management board, or do two separate appeals have to be made on each?
Well, I obviously can't advise someone who would be in the position of potentially challenging or appealing one of my client's decisions, which is the city of Monroe. That's my client, so I can't give you that type of advice. But I will say that I believe staff is intending on issuing a formal notice of decision following the completion of the hearing examiner's reconsideration process, and that will have some guidance beyond that. My recommendation would be to consult the RCW and the WAC and or your own attorney.
So when you do the rezone decision, is there not an appeal process that follows with that?
There is an...
And that comes on the end of the decision?
That's correct. The rezone and the comprehensive plan amendment proposals before the council tonight are both independently appealable.
Okay, that was my question. So there are two separate appeal processes that...
I'm not necessarily saying that they're separate processes. I'm saying that both of those decisions are appealable. That's where the appropriate appellate venue is, the timelines for appealing, the process for doing that. Those are all matters that you presumably need to discuss with your own attorney.
And the city, does the city have a position on the way that they see that from their perspective?
I don't believe the council has discussed that openly. It's typically something that's done at the staff level.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, anybody else? All right, seeing nobody moving forward or no hands, we'll move on to first issue, final action, amendments to the 2013 Comprehensive Plan and the Monroe Municipal Codes. Melissa?
Yes. Hi, good evening, Council. Melissa Sartorius, City Planner at the City of Monroe. And we're here for the second reading and final action on three amendments. We have three comprehensive plan amendments in the first ordinance that include text amendments to the natural environment, land use, housing, and economic development elements that have been revised for the 2015 update, revising the capital facilities element for changes to the school impact fees language, and changing the land use designation for East Monroe from limited open space to general commercial. One code amendment updates MMC Chapter 2007 for school impact fee language and sets a discount rate at 25% for 2014 and at 50% for 2015 and beyond. The language for the discount rate based on your action in the last meeting has been incorporated into the code amendment before you in sections 20.07.090 and 100 of the code. The last code amendment is the rezone of East Monroe from limited open space to general commercial. As you know, the hearing examiner rendered his decision on the reconsideration request today and denied reconsidering the matter. There are no outstanding requirements or appeals that would affect your final action tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you very much. So I do see three proposed ordinances here before us this evening. The first one looks like it covers... let's see. The first one is just a comprehensive plan, but it includes, it has a in the ordinance title, it does talk about schools and the land use designation, I see. And then the third one is actually because of the zoning. Got it. Okay, sorry, I was thinking out loud there, making sure I understood which one was which. Okay. Actually, I have no other questions, so if there are any other lights, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion on the first one, and we'll see where that goes. I move to accept as the second and final reading ordinance number 022/2013, amending the comprehensive plan. And that is a big long thing that I'll let the attorney read. If there's a second to that motion,
do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Councilmember Gearing, a second by Councilmember Davis, City Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Just for the record, I believe that staff had submitted some additional findings that were attached to the ordinance for your consideration. Those, I believe, were placed in your mailbox earlier. Those would be part of the final document to support your. As indicated, and as always is the case, you are not required to adopt any of those. If you have any concerns, if you want to strike, amend, modify them, you know, that's entirely your prerogative. So with that, I'd be happy to read the ordinance title or answer any questions that the council may have.
Seeing no other lights, we'll have you just read the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. City of Monroe Ordinance Number 022-2013, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, relating to the 2013 Comprehensive Plan Amendments, amending and updating the natural environment, land use, housing, and economic development elements of the Comprehensive Plan, CPA 2013-A, amending the capital facilities element of the comprehensive plan, adopting the Monroe School District capital facility from 2012 to 2017, and the Snohomish School District capital facility plan 17, amending the land use designation of certain property located north of US 2 near the eastern city limits, commonly known as the East Monroe area, from limited open space LOS to general commercial GC, CPA 2011-01, providing for severability and fixing a time the same shall become effective.
Thank you. Councilmember Gary. I just wanted to ask a quick, I appreciate the heads up about the additional city council findings. Staff need, do these need to be included in the motion? Is that a staff recommendation, or this is just for our information, the additional city council findings?
I believe they included it.
If they are included,
I thought that they might have been since they were included together, but
that was included in the
so if there are no separate actions necessary, then that's great. Thank you.
Seeing no other lights, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Council Member Hanford.
We'll go ahead and move for the second and final reading of ordinance number 023-2013. Regarding the school litigation fees, and all the city attorney reads it.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Camp, and Speaker, if you'd like to read that ordinance as well.
I'd be happy to, Mr. Mayor. Just a point of clarification on behalf of staff, I believe that the revised version of the ordinance in front of you reflects the changes that have been directed by the council at the last regular council meeting, specifically as it relates to the percentage discount that the city would be applying related to the impact fee imposition and collection framework for the next few years. Yeah. And I believe that's in section 1901-100.
Yes.
Well, with that, Mr. Mayor, City of Monroe Ordinance Number 023-2013, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Chapter 2007 of the Monroe Municipal Code, School Impact Fee Mitigation Program, clarifying and updating the city's methodology, calculation formula, and procedures for imposing and collecting school impact fees, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Okay. Seeing no other lights, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries 5-0. Okay, well, the last one up is ordinance 024-2013. Councilmember Gearing.
I move to approve as ordinance second and final reading, ordinance number 24-2013, adopting the East Monroe Rezone RC 2012-01.
Second. Who is the second? Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Camp. City Attorney?
Excuse me.
Court. Councilmember Davis. Sorry, Councilmember Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't at the meeting where I believe this item was first introduced by the council as a sponsor of the ordinance proposal, but I believe Mr. Pelka, on behalf of staff, guided the council through appearance of fairness disclosures.
Oh, that's true.
With the council's permission, I'd like to quickly do that tonight.
Please do so.
Record.
Sure.
I'd just like to clarify, it is staff's position that this is not a quasi-judicial matter, but the size of the property in question that's being proposed for the rezone is legislative in nature, and it has been processed procedurally through the city's decisional framework as a legislative item. However, out of an abundance of caution, given that there are a relatively few property owners and number of parcels in question, I think it behooves the city to just take this cautionary step, and the council will permit me. I'd just like to ask a few questions. As the council knows from previous presentations, the appearance of fairness doctrine is intended to ensure that site-specific land use decision-making in Washington is fair not only in fact but in appearance, and the standard under state law is whether a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant facts would be reasonably justified in thinking that a particular decision maker's interest or involvement in the case may affect his or her judgment. The first series of questions that the council will be asked concerns any personal financial interest in the property. And the first question is, does any council member have any financial interest in the project or the underlying property itself?
No.
Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record in this case?
No.
Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with one of the parties?
No.
Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site?
No.
Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should fairly be disclosed?
No.
The next series of questions deals with the concern of impartiality. The first question is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project itself?
No.
Has any council member prejudged any of the issues implicated in this matter?
No.
Has any council member not had an opportunity to review the record materials before you for this proposal?
No.
Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner?
No.
The final question has to do with ex parte communications. This is a little bit tenuous given, again, what we consider to be the overwhelmingly legislative nature of this process. However, has any council member had any ex parte communications regarding this project while the proposal has been pending?
No.
Thank you. The floor should now be open briefly for any parties to formally challenge any council member on the basis of the disclosures that have been given. Pursuant to RCW 4236.080, assuming that is applicable, which again staff believes it is not, the appearance of fairness challenges would be waived unless they are promptly raised when the alleged disqualification grounds become known. Seeing none, I'd be happy to read the ordinance title.
Please do.
Council's preference. Is there a first and second?
Yes, Councilmember Gearing, and second is Councilmember Davis.
City of Monroe Ordinance Number 024-2013, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending zoning designations in the East Monroe area from limited open space to general commercial, setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Okay. Seeing no other lights, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. And that is all that we have on the agenda for tonight. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So Councilmember Hanford has light up.
So moved.
To adjourn. I'll second it, but I'll leave my light up. Did you have a comment?
I just have a comment. So.
Oh, and thank you. And it's been an honor to serve with you and Councilman Williams being our last evening together here. Appreciate your service over the last 4 years. From the very beginning when we campaigned together 4 years ago, it's just been a lot of fun. I've appreciated getting to know you as a friend, you and your wife, and your beautiful beautiful child. Look forward to hanging out in the future in a less political environment. So well done. Best of luck to you. And thanks for your service.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no other lights, all those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.